Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, so coming up on the show, okay, guys, let's have a family meeting and have a conversation about what's happening at Stilfontein. We've been on the story for a long time. And yesterday, I'm sure you guys have seen the notes that were coming from underground. Do you believe those notes? So there's a school of thought that says no. The notes are smuddled in and they are fictitious and all of that. So I'm speaking of the notes that are said to come from underground. And on the list of things that the miners are asking for, mayonnaise, tomatoes. Tomato sauce. I think there's something to do with mabele or bujalwa or something. Or a cleansing ceremony of where some people died. It's not funny, but it's funny. You know what I mean, eh? So you remember that we've been speaking to many people, attorney at Lawyers for Human Rights, who went to court to insist that the Ministry, particularly of Police, allow access for food and the key word being essentials. That's food and water and so on. You remember that, right? And they went back again to court, insisting that the Minister of Police did not abide by a court ruling. So we're going to speak to them again just now. What we have to ask them is mayonnaise and tomato sauce an essential? We have to ask that question. I'd like to hear their story. I'd like to hear what they make of these so-called demands now, and what's the way forward. And they need to explain to us now whether do they still see the situation being the same. In other words, do they still feel that the miners underground are actually trapped? Because that was actually the premise of what took them to court. But let's start here. Northwest Police spokesperson Sabata Mokgwabona, who obviously has been keeping an eye on the story. Brigadier, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Tinello, and good evening to listeners.
Hey, Brigadier. So When we last spoke, there were still people coming up and some bodies were resurfacing. Where are you now before we get to the notes and the demands that are being made by some underground? But maybe just give us a sense of where you are in terms of your own operation.
Okay, well, the operation continues, Tinello. Remember, the operation was not only about the shop number 11.
Yes.
We've been there since last year, and we still continue with our operation. It just happened that this issue came while we were busy with our operation, and we also had to make sure that we deal with it. Unfortunately, to some, it was seen as a stumbling block, because people could not understand the reason why we actually stopped or blocked food from going down, or people from accessing the shaft, either going underground or coming up. So, yeah, that's where we are, but we are still there. Remember that whoever comes up must be arrested. So, yeah, we'll continue with our operations, basically.
Brigadier, just help me understand, who is now bringing people up? Is it still that rope system that the community was using while the issues around funding and so on were being settled? Just maybe give us a sense of what exactly and who is in charge of what right now.
Yeah, you'll remember that when the minister came back to the province for the second time, he did indicate or give an instruction that we should use all available methods or means to make sure that at the end of the day, the rescue operation continues. Like you correctly indicated, even the National Commissioner indicated last week Thursday that yes, we are done with the first two phases of the operation, the rescue operation, but then we are left with the in future, I can also say that it's likely to be the last phase. It's unfortunate that there are costs involved, but then he did indicate that we are busy working on the they are busy working on making sure that they get money so that at the end of the day they are able to get machinery underground so that they can also assist in that. So it's not to say that that plan is not has been abandoned. It is still continuing. But on the basis of the minister said, we are continuing the rope method.
Are you leading that rope method, or is that the community and
no,
NGOs?
No, we are just there to make sure that everything is done and is done in an orderly manner, as it was also indicated in the court order.
Okay. The food issue and the essentials issue, are you sending that down, or from what I understood, they were just being allowed to send it down? So in other words, it's not really you as the police, but you're monitoring that essentials are going down, obviously being managed by the community.
Yeah, if you can go back a bit, you remember that even before the NGOs and the, or the NPO or the foundations came, we were giving these people Movite, we're giving them the instant porridge and mahel and water. But at that time, the agreement was that we give them distance so that you get or they regain strength, and then after they regain strength, then
they
can,
come up.
Yes. Mm. But then after the court order, remember the court order initially said they must allow them to take food underground. But then we also limited, or we sort of supervised on the order so that the food that goes down is something that cannot be cooked.
Essentials, yes.
But then they went back to court to say that we are contravening the court order. Then the court ruled that no, we must actually allow food to go down. As long as if it's food, it must be allowed to go down. So, but the court also gave an order that we mustn't allow paraffin, diesel. And they also said that this must be done actually between Monday and Friday, between 8 o'clock and 4 o'clock. That's when now we started to see things like lazy meal, things like testic rice, thin stuffs going down. So that's where we have a problem. But I can also indicate that the last time food was taken underground, or when underground was on Friday last week, however, yesterday, water was also taken down, but we are still there to make sure that everything is done accordingly. That's why now there was an exchange of letters. But every time when something goes down, it will go down the note, and then when, whether a person comes up or a body comes up, then it will also come with a note.
While the food is going up and down, yesterday, you know, just give us a count of how many people came up. Can you give us that?
No, very few people came up. I think it can be only be 5 people, if my memory serves me well, and maybe 3 or 4 bodies.
And those were arrested?
Yes, everybody who came up was arrested.
Northwest Police spokesperson.
So actually, we had a lot of food going underground than people coming up. To be with you, yes.
Appreciate you giving us your time as usual, Northwest Police spokesperson Sabata Mokgwabone. And we've spoken to him before, attorney at Lawyers for Human Rights, Mametlwa Sibe, on the line with us this evening again. Thank you so much, Mr. Sibe, for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and to listeners of Qatar.
Mr. Sibe, what is going on at Stilfontein?
Well, I mean, the risk effort has resumed. I think in that sense, it's a step forward. Obviously, it is taking time. I think the basic supplies like food, water, medication, I think those have been secure. Now, I've seen on social media, but I've also seen that there's an attempt at sensationalizing some of the requests that are coming out of the miners. But I think I can assure people that insofar as we are concerned, we are focused strictly on ensuring that people only get what they need, strictly speaking, to be able to survive underground, whilst, of course, the risk is continuing, which risk, I think, people need to appreciate. is going to take weeks and months, because you are talking about, as I've said before, pulling people kilometers underground. In actual fact, a colleague of mine said, for those that know Johannesburg, you know that Vodacom Tower there in Johannesburg, the depth of this hole is 10 times the size of the Vodacom Tower. So you are trying to pull people from that depth, and obviously it takes an hour long pulling by 35 to 40 men at a time just to be able to get 1% to the surface.
So the food that is going down, are you monitoring it?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, the food is monitored by the police, but by everybody, it's agreed by everybody. I mean, as I said, I mean, let me just contextualize some of these requests that have been made. As you know, about 8 people have died underground, right? And, you know, I don't have those beliefs, by the way, but people do have those beliefs, like, you know, trespass and, you know, rituals and those things and so on. So there is a certain request to say, look, the area has a spirit that need to be cleaned, and we want a very small amount of traditional beer to be able to perform that ceremony and all those things and so on. Obviously, we have not granted that request, right? Our view is they have to come to the surface, and only then they can do whatever rituals that people want to do. If they feel that they have to go to cleansing ceremony, all of that can happen when they are on the surface. But also, like, the issue of mining. This is a context that these miners, I mean, wrongly believe that it's protein, because, as you can imagine, we are feeding people maize and water. So maize and water, I mean, you can only take it for how long, right? So they wanted something that could either bring taste, but also I think they wrongly believe that it is protein and things like that, because some of these miners, more and more, I think even their stomachs are revolting to taking that and so on. But that's a different issue. The issue is that insofar as the community and the police are concerned, the focus is to give them all what is essential to keeping them alive pending the rescue. So most of those requests are not being granted. And I think it's important to clarify one thing. The police and the state are not providing any of those things. The food and all those requests are directed at their family members, at communities, but also charity organizations that have come to the party to try and support the rescue effort and feeding people what is essential to keep them alive pending a rescue, which, regardless of who do it, what a community rescue team or a professional team with a specialized equipment, is going to take weeks.
I understand where you're coming from, but I want to understand your plight in the courts and why you're not pushing for the ministry to also speed up the process of bringing them up. In other words, instead of sending the food, they could be a push for the ministry to actually expedite the process of this rescue mission rather than just sending the food. Is that something you can consider?
We are pushing for that. I mean, we're not just, you know, we are fighting over that. In actual fact, one of the things, because, you know, those people are getting exhausted, right? Physically,
yes, yeah,
as you can imagine,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, today they could only start at 12 o'clock. When we had left, they only put 1%. It is very clear to me that it's not sustainable on that basis. In the team or task team that was created by the minister, the MEC said the professional rescue team and their specialized equipment will be on place in the course of this week. Now, we have backed the team, the community rescue team, to continue the efforts pending that. We are looking at the inefficiency of government. It may very well be that it may go into next week. But I think if by next week there is no resolution, we probably have got to go to court and, of course,
yes,
compel them by means of court order to say that it is high time that they bring the provincial rescue team. What is very clear, and I must say this, as I think I've said it last week, because, you know, you thought, you try to forge environment of cooperation. I mean, for this ANC guys, it's just about a tender by now. You'll have help. And I'm wondering, why is the media, you know, like, the way is, you know, this and that request of the miners is sensationalized, but not of government. The fact that people are already fighting over this tender, when it's a question of life and death, 8 people have died because of that delay. The fact that people in this country are not angry about that, how can they be fighting over a 10-30% share, this and that, whilst people are dying underground, whilst enormous state resources are wasted by a contingent of police that are stationed there and monitoring a community risk, which even in the most productive of days, only 4 people can be pulled out in one day.
Well, I mean, the issue here is that for communities, for people to be outraged, they'd have to see proof, you know. We are obviously hearing you tell us that there's a fight around a tender. What they're telling us is that it's too expensive and people are not sure whose budget is going to come from. Come bring it to court, you know, so that everybody gets to see the details.
Yes, look, the point of the matter is that you would understand that the public opinion on this, and I think, you know, the communities themselves, you know, bit careful in terms of not overstretching the understanding of the best people in this country. Mm. You know, already people are saying, look, have people, they went underground on their own, you know, why should the state spend money and other things and so on? So the community has been putting their own efforts. These are their family members. They want them out at their own cost and so on. And that's what they're trying. However, the reality is, it is becoming costly just keeping a police there also for a long time. So it's not really helpful. And the lot of time has been wasted because that 3 months when the police chased away the community rescue team is a 3 months that has been lost from rescuing these miners. Even after that, the week that they spent lying to people about the possibility of those people coming underground, not only have we lost a lot of time, but as you know, 8 lives were lost, and many people that are coming out are still extremely emaciated and physically weakened by lack of those essential food, water, and medical supplies that were subject of the court order and application. And now, at the moment, people and the community are thinking, let's explore an amicable solution with the state on this issue. At the same time, I think everybody realizes that no, if by next week there's no change, we probably have got to be approaching court on that basis.
Mr. Sibe, I've got Jablani here on the line, if you don't mind. He's got a question for you. Jablani, you're calling from Zola. Good evening and welcome.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. Go ahead, Jablani.
Pamela, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm good. I'm having two questions for this gentleman. Mm. Is a human rights lawyer?
Yes, sir.
Question number one, how can a human rights lawyer defend criminals and state that their family members that are waiting for their loved ones who are committing crime, and there are few individuals who came out last week and they said guys are sitting there with rifles controlling the food. And they are criminals. They are illegal immigrants. Two, last question. We have our own 22 kids that die because of food poisoning. Human rights don't stand up, but they stand up for illegal immigrants. How can we trust human rights in this country? Because they don't defend our democracy. They don't defend the Constitution. They defend criminals. That's what they are doing.
Mr. Sibe?
Okay, let me clarify that. Firstly, to the extent that there is a criminality involved in this artisanal mining, it's because really of lack of regulation for the industry, which on and by itself, by the way, is not illegal in law, right? Artisanal mining. The problem is, lots of these miners, in the context of abandoned mines, which is illegality by the big mining corporation, the fact that you have 6,100 mines that are abandoned, derelict, and ownerless, not, you know, host closed, and not environment rehabilitated. All of that are acts of institutionalized illegality by the big mining companies. But also, lack of access to market, lack of access to capital means that basically, there is syndicates that have actually taken advantage of the vehicle. And of course, they are terrorizing these artisanal miners to extort minerals out of them and so on and so on. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about the law on this. I mean, thousands of people have come out. The reason the state it can't charge them, right, is because artisanal mining on and by itself, by the way, is not necessarily illegal. So not that. Two, They have tried to charge them with trespassing. You can't charge people with trespassing where the land is vacant. It's vacant because it's abandoned by the mine and so on. And obviously, only out of pressure from the public to say, okay, you're spending a lot of police resources. Where are the people that you are actually following up on? Now, what the state is doing is arresting only migrants who are undocumented. And that's in the context that when you look at the police statistics, it's only migrants. Because South Africans, once they are not found to be having any other criminal record, they are being released immediately, right? Because there is simply no charge. So that is the context here. And insofar as what we are doing for South Africans, I mean, that's not true. I mean, especially insofar as this industry is concerned, I mean, we are the people that warned about the danger of lack of regulation and the fact that this is going to be endangering communities if the state doesn't deal with the issue of organized criminal syndicates in the question of artisanal mining that is developing because people are becoming unemployed, people are becoming disparate and poor. Secondly, human rights law firms do a tremendous amount of work. We defend evictions of communities in almost every township that I'm aware about. I personally represent mining-affected communities. You would know from our statements last week, we were in Limpopo addressing whole mining-affected communities that are local, that are fighting mining cooperations. Most of those mining cooperations have taken their land and put the mines under care and maintenance, meaning they've taken the land under pretext that they are going to mine, create jobs, develop economies, but they're not doing anything about it. The result of which is that people are unemployed, people are poor in those communities. We are calling for reopening of those mines to resolve those issues. We are fighting for those communities against pollution. So there's a whole lot of work that we do for a lot of local people here, and people are just not engaging in it. But you can just look at our work. It's there publicly for everyone to see.
I'm going to have to leave it there. I really appreciate you giving us your time. Attorney at Lawyers for Human Rights, Mame Tlosibei there, giving us his version of what is happening at Stilfontein. Of course, as I said, we'll keep an eye on the story and update you. I just want you to take a listen to the list we're told was given to the police as well as family members above ground coming from the miners underneath. So just take a listen to this.
Ire kopa sesepa se hlapang le se hlatswang le roll ono re kopa re khone go hlapa le tomato sauce le mayonnaise le se shabo se fedile re kopa le tin fish le beef le nawo le dinawa tsa khu and then the second sentence it khotso mbatswadi re kopa rice engwe yane e fedile le di torch di fedile ra kopa le tsone le paraffin fedile re kopela bakuli ba sebedisang dipidisi tsa low blood ra lebo wa re kopa uthu swaka ka ho hulelwa batho bana ba kulang baya hampe.
So this is just a comment on the Zamazamas and their lists of demands. I think what's very interesting is that seeing the ways that they test the boundaries, and there's also a part of it that also feels like it's they're gently trying to use extortion tactics, you know. So once we can see that you can afford to provide us with this one thing, we're just going to keep asking you for more and more because you've already proven that you're willing to bow down. And so, like, even that, like, by the fact that, like, we've gotten all of these lawyers, we've gone to the courts to go and ask people, if we're being honest, there are criminal syndicates being run down there. And so who are these list of demands coming from? You know, are they coming from the people who are actual indentured laborers, or are these demands coming from the big bosses who are actually running the society down there?
No, very, very, very good questions, because it's as complex as anything. It's not that simple. It's not that black and white. And you're asking very, very good questions. Who is asking for these things? And as you are absolutely correctly stating, there are different sort of categories of people underneath there, as you could hear. And so it's going to be interesting. I'm actually very interested in a proper operation being conducted and what actually becomes of that operation and what eventually, you know, it finds underneath there, how many people come up in the end and what it finds, proper investigation. So I'm actually quite frustrated with the rope thing. I do want a proper operation to get underway so that we get to the bottom of this. And if there are court cases to be handled, we get on with those and we get more information about exactly what kind of operations have been going on underneath there.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.